12 o'clock straight up with Gresham Fauria. To the Harbor One Hotline we go, where we welcome in our friend Tommy Kern of NBC Sports Boston to break down kind of everything that has gone on, not only in the National Football League, but with the New England Patriots. Tommy, good afternoon.
What's up, buddy? Let's get after it.
Oh, look at that. I love the energy. He's back.
Are you all fired up after one day of Patriots free agency? What do you make of what they have done so far, whether it's retaining talent or bringing in talent?
Well, I think you have to have a full appraisal of what the free agent market looked like before Monday began, which is not that impressive. There weren't that many guys out there that you say, wow, that's a real difference maker. So I think the Patriots' number one priority had to be going into free agency, retaining their guys. Hunter Henry was the second-ranked tight end among all tight ends. Dalton Schultz was ranked number one. He was retained by the Texans, but so they retained him. Mike Onwenu was generally seen as one of the top five offensive linemen. They retained him. Kyle Duggar, top 30 free agent overall in Pro Football Talk. So I think they've done a good job in retaining some of the players, or virtually all of the top free agents that they had. So to me, if there's no reason to go fishing someplace else because there ain't that many fish there, then just stay in your own corner and haul a few in the boat.
Yeah, so, but it seems like, you know, the whole, like, we've been running with the let's burn some cash. I know, I'm sure Mayo probably regrets saying that, but it is what it is, and here we go. So, but a lot of people look at the fact that they're just signing their own guys. It's like, it just doesn't really count. Like, you got to add, because it's like, it's all the same players. So, well, I'm just, listen, it is what it is. So, have you really made your team better by signing your own players? Because supposedly, there was a terrible roster. It was a terrible roster last year. It was a terrible roster last year. So look at, you're re-signing your own guys, Tom.
That is so moronic.
Yeah. Explain it. Then why?
If Mike Onwenu had signed someplace else, would the team be worse?
They wouldn't have a right tackle. They wouldn't have the right tackle. Now, who knows? Maybe they signed somebody else.
So you re-signed. Who else? Who's the better right tackle out there?
There's a guy by the name of Jack Swigert out of Tennessee.
I think it's one of those where people would have turned to Tyron Smith.
Yeah.
I understand the essence of what Fauria is saying, Curran, in that, yes,
I do too.
There was the high-end guy.
I've heard it, and it's the most bizarre thing I could imagine. There were 4-13 team last year, not because of Kyle Duggar's shortcomings or Mike Onwenu's shortcomings or Hunter Henry's shortcomings. All three of those players were among the best on the 53-man roster. So retaining those guys helps. Finding a left tackle, since the one that you had didn't work and went on wildcat strike at the end of the year, having a right tackle to go into the season instead of not staffing the position, finding wide receivers, which they really haven't done yet. You probably look at the draft. Instead of having Devontae Parker and Juju Smith-Schuster instead of Jacoby Myers, that's important. You know, you have a good safety. I just don't get the logic behind people who are bitching for the sake of bitching when we've known since last summer that the best free agents or the most important retentions for the Patriots were Onwenu, Duggar, Henry, and Uche, who didn't have a good year, so you can see why they'd move on. So I don't understand why people, well, they just retained their own people. That doesn't count. Who did you want them to sign? I mean, I'm all for Calvin Ridley. I think that'll be a swing and a miss if they don't do it, but it's just bitching for the sake of bitching.
Well, I think we have been led to believe that it's a new day. Yes, it is, as they say with the new day in WWE. That it was, well, the silos are knocked down. Less hard-ass edge. And then we hear that Elliott Wolf is driving hard bargains and stuff like that. And to retain some of these guys, Mike Onwenu made, what, $3.5 million last year? That's going to go up a ton. Same with Duggar. So some of the space that we've been led to believe that was out there to be able to make this roster better And right now it looks like a lot of the money is going to retaining some and bringing in some ancillary pieces that doesn't get anybody horny. When we're led to believe that there's going to be such big change, I think that's why the narrative is out there, because in part Mayo and Wolf have kind of created all of this.
Well, burn some cash doesn't mean run out there and throw $30 million at Jack Swigert or whoever. I think burn some cash means spend to the cap. Ask yourself this. In the last 10 years, how many players the Patriots drafted or brought aboard and developed did they re-sign? Who was it? There was one guy. I can't remember who it was.
Was it Dante Hightower?
No, I don't think it was him. It was since 2013. Can't even remember who it was. But they did so with two. They did so with Onwenu, and they did so with Duggar. They did so with Tooney, who they franchised as well.
Yeah, they franchised Tooney 1 year.
They were franchising Tooney as bait to bring back Brady, who had no intention of coming back. And they were like, why do we do that? there's your difference. I don't get the logic behind everybody understanding that they had the best guard who was going into free agency, the second best tight end, one of the best safeties. They bring him back and people are like, what did they do that for?
Well, because also I think there is an aspect of those are Bill guys.
Right. If the narrative last year was the roster was junk.
Narratives and perspectives as opposed to whether or not the team is actually bringing back good players.
Oh, no, look, I mean, clearly people went nuts. Like, I joked yesterday or last week, Curran, that, well, when does Gonzalez get traded? Because Bill was a bad drafter, right? Like, you know.
Yeah, he's not sensing our sarcasm. He's missing it.
No, but there's a little bit of people have kind of run amok. But I also think if at the end of the day the sell is going to be we're going to draft a guy at number three, we might need to draft a tackle. I know that, Tom, you'd mentioned about maybe turning to the draft for wide receivers. I don't care who you are in Patriot Nation. There's not a lot of brand confidence in them going into the draft and drafting some guys that could come in and make an impact. I think there was a notion that there would be impact, and it just hasn't been felt yet, but it can happen. And, Tommy, if it does, how do you think it might? Is it Higgins? Is it something that is off the radar right now that would make all of us say, well, holy crap, now there's a player?
Yeah, maybe Calvin Ridley, I think, would probably satisfy the, to borrow your term, horniness that exists. That's a tough one.
What'd you say? Say it again. Yeah, I didn't hear you.
No, I said it gets people all horny. It doesn't make
people Calvin, horny.
Calvin Ridley doesn't make it move for me, but that's okay.
He does not.
No, does not make it move. No.
So, I mean, I don't know who would be out there then to get people giddy. As I said at the start of the call, anybody who expected rabbits to be plucked from multiple hats where people are going to say, wow, that really makes me think, didn't understand the free agent class. There just really isn't anybody out there. Kirk Cousins, T. Higgins, who isn't even a free agent, he's franchised, and he's going to be a trade chip. I mean, who is it that would excite you? I think Calvin Ridley would satisfy. They go in with a quarterback, a tackle, and a wide receiver need. So if you bring in a wide receiver better than Kendrick Bourne, I think you're in the right track.
Hey, Tom, what do they do with Bailey Zappe? You think he makes the team? You think he sticks around?
I do think he makes the team. And I think that you'll have a three, that right there between Brissett, Zappe, and whoever they draft, whether it be May at three or, for instance, Penix later on, maybe in the second round, or Bo Nix, whoever it is, I think you have a complement of players that you can go with a straight face and say, okay, we did something about it. I mean, remember, the Patriots cycled through eight different quarterbacks in 2023. And someone said, I put a poll up because I have quick slides tonight, and someone said, well, I don't see how they're doing anything different relative to Brissett than what Bill did. Like, Bill actually didn't sign a veteran backup quarterback last year. He went into the season with one on his roster. So that would be an example. I'm not saying Jacoby Brissett is even really an upgrade from Mac Jones. But at least they've done something at the position. There's nothing here that should be making people say, okay, wow, 4-13. Now this is a 10-17. It's not going to happen that quick. So incremental to me. And Bailey Zappi's part of the increment. Sorry.
I know. How do you view Jacoby Brissett? Is he here to start and then get bumped? Is he here to create competition? Does he get three quarters of the year and then you just kind of move on? I'm curious how you sort of view the role Brissett might ultimately have in 2024.
He's a bridge. And how long you have to use this bridge before you can take it down and the new bridge that you're building is ready for traffic, that is TBD. So there's no way to predict whether he will be there as a bridge all the way till December or only until August 30th. That depends on a lot of things. And I think mostly it depends not on the player they draft, but on how well the group around whoever's playing quarterback assimilates. You know, you get a new offensive line coach in Scott Peters, you're going to have new offensive linemen, and you're going to have a new scheme. Before you're going to stick Drake May or Jaden Daniels or anybody else out there and say, go play, you have to make sure that they're protected well enough to actually execute the offense.
Hey,
give them a shot.
I know they signed Antonio Gibson. We did a whole, like, a third down back. Is it worth it? Is it needed? What's the big deal? How important is to have that versatility with a what I would call your typical third down back, which seems like Gibson is?
He's big, right, for a third down back? It's 6'2", 220. At least he doesn't fit the suit the Patriots have been putting guys in, unless you want to say Brandon Bolden was kind of a third down back. But
would you label him as
they
that?
They haven't had it. They literally haven't had the position filled. Because Ramondre Stevenson and Ezekiel Elliott caught passes, but they really weren't guys who caught passes then made people miss, nor were they guys who went into and ran an option route at the second level like James White or Kevin Falk or Shane Vereen did. So to me, to have a guy who's actually a route runner, and Antonio Gibson's numbers aren't, as a receiver, even that much better than Stevenson's or Elliott's, but it's a different kind of route that he can run for you. So it's a good add.
I just wonder if you could take advantage of that with what you're going to have a quarterback this year. Like, that was the big thing of the discussion with Fourier was, for a lot of those years with a third down back where you were waving to everyone on the field, hey, here comes James White. He's only going to catch 10 balls in a Super Bowl and pant you. You know what I mean? You did that because you also had a guy of immense intellect at quarterback. And I just wonder how much of or how long that will take to come along. Tommy, one other thing I wanted to run by you. When Fourier and I were talking about Brissett, it feels like it's unless the kid, whomever it is at three, comes in and just lights the world on fire and blows everybody away, because this coaching staff has got to get their feet under them as well, it feels like Jacoby Brissett would pretty much be the starter right away as the staff kind of comes together. Do you see it that way or not?
100%. Yeah. He is your default starter until they figure things out. But that's an interesting question that I hadn't considered, because in my mind, 100% he would be. But do you have to somehow pay respect to last year's end-of-the-year starter in Bailey Zappi? Or is he going to be going, what the hell? I thought I played pretty good. So,
yeah, say with a country, with a twang.
He's an odd roster guy. He's just an odd guy to have on the roster, because you kind of can look at him and see what he is, but I think he looks in the mirror and sees Joe Montana.
I love that you said that, because I think you're right. I tell you what, Billy O would take him at BC. Get another year out of him.
And that's not that bad.
No.
I mean, you want a guy to be confident, but I don't know.
Confident, not delusional. How's that?
That's better.
There we go. Tommy, thank you, friend. We appreciate it. We'll catch you next week.
All right, guys. See ya.